My name is Kevin Cahill. I'm an author. I used to deputy edit the Sunday Times Rich List. And I specialize in surveillance, mass surveillance, surveillance of us, the people.
So who's doing that surveillance?
The corporations who were convicted by the courts are Microsoft, Apple, Google, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, AOL, and Paltalk.
Yeah, so if they were convicted, why aren't they in jail?
That is the question I keep asking. The party responsible for actually taking action against them is the Information Commissioner's Office. Yeah? And the reason they're not in jail is because the Information Commissioner has done nothing, which is itself unlawful.
Interesting. I know there's a new Privacy Council being set up recently. We've heard very little about this. Now, this should be protecting our rights to privacy and, of course, stopping surveillance effectively unless somebody is a criminal. You know, so what's going on with this new Privacy Council?
Well, I have just sent the question to the two government ministers responsible. And the question is, if this is a Privacy Council, why are there two criminal corporations with convictions before the courts for mass surveillance and criminal surveillance? I haven't had an answer.
Now, can you detail what you allege this criminal surveillance actually is?
Okay, I don't allege any. Here's what the courts have said, and I will quote you exactly. In the Irish High Court did the investigation, and it found that nine companies it named, the ones I've just told you, Microsoft, Facebook, etc., were engaged in, and I quote the judge, mass and indiscriminate surveillance throughout the EU, which included the UK at the time. That was what the court said, not me. Back here in the UK, our heavyweight judge, a fellow called Anthony May, said that if the stuff these people were doing elsewhere were to happen in the UK, it would be criminal and unlawful. That's the former president of the High Court in the United Kingdom, Anthony May. So there's no question.
Look, to be fair, Kevin, we're talking here about you're alleging criminal activity. This is a civil case, surely.
No, this is criminal. And the guide to the fact that it was criminal is Anthony May. I'm not a lawyer. It was this judge who said it's criminal, not me.
OK, so what do you think is, what's the time scale and the timeline for this Privacy Council? When are they going to start doing their work? What are they doing? And is there going to be any checks and balances, you know, for example, members of the public on there?
No, there are no members. Two of the members of the council are representatives of two of the criminal corporations, Microsoft and Google. So there are no representatives of the public at all. Most of the people on the council are lawyers, and at least one of them has acted on behalf of the National Security Agency in Brussels. This is a thing called the Business Software Association. But you sort of said, Tony, civil and criminal. I've said criminal because the judges have said criminal and the courts have said criminal. I've not said that. That's not an allegation by me. That is a finding, a judgment by the courts. Now, what we need to do, how serious is this? If you are Fred Smith in Exeter and you're, you know, using your Facebook or your Google, everything you put on your Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, etc., is stolen by Microsoft, Apple, and so on, and sent to the National Security Agency in the United States. Now, the first piece of criminality is if you intercept communications in the UK without authorization, that's a criminal act. But if you're nicking people's data and handing it to a espionage organization in a foreign country, that's a second crime. So that's how criminal this is. It's a double criminal thing. And it affects at least 37 million people in the UK, according to the parliamentary evidence.
I mean, it seems to me that actually these big corporations, the tech giants, are actually more powerful, are now beginning to dominate government and their own regulation.
Well, it would seem that the government of the United Kingdom has joined up with criminal corporations to steal even more of our data, if that's possible. But the council was only announced this morning, and I've only just put my questions to the Department for Digital Culture, Sport and Media. So I haven't heard back from them yet. But the parliamentary evidence that described two members of the council, Google and Microsoft, as criminal, was actually published in Parliament by the Digital Sports, Media and Culture Select Committee. So the government has formed this council in defiance of the evidence published by Parliament under oath. Very difficult. Now, do you want me to track around slightly? If it gets too complicated, tell me. Behind the criminal corporations, the United States government has said and argued in court that it is entitled, because it has got national security issues, to do this mass surveillance. Well, 2 years ago, the Irish Supreme Court said, no, guys. And the Irish Supreme Court said it unanimously. You have no national security issues whatsoever that can justify this unlawful mass surveillance. So Facebook and the United States government together were told to bugger off by the Irish Supreme Court. So what are these two criminal corporations doing on the Privacy Council? Well, I don't know.
Maybe they're just making sure that they can ride roughshod over our privacy.
Well, I have typed up, I'll tell you what I've done. There are loads of lawyers on this council, people from international law companies. And one of the, in the House of Commons evidence, Select Committee evidence, describing these miscreants as criminals, one of the international law companies was picked out and criticized for misrepresenting the European Court of Justice. That company, Baker McKenzie, did not challenge the criticism made of it.
Yes, yeah, so yeah? She's
Now, do you want to get to the Danish spies?
Well, yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to. I noticed that actually, isn't it the intelligence chief in Denmark has now gone to jail?
No, he has. He's facing charges. It's all been okay. When the American mass surveillance was killed officially by the courts, but this wasn't reported in the media. The Danish government suspended its four top spies. Yeah.
Look, I'm reading an article here. Lars Finden was arrested on the 9th of December after a long investigation of leaks. Jail's intelligence chief.
Then you're a step ahead of me.
He's been in prison for over a month now.
That is, I mean, it could not be more serious. because what he was accused of was participating in the American mass surveillance. I can tell you what he was accused of. He was accused of allowing the National Security Agency to extend mass surveillance to private citizens in Denmark. Now, I didn't know he'd been put in jail. I'm a step behind you there. But all four top spooks in Denmark are out of a job. And if you say he's in jail, but did you notice all the reporting? The Guardian didn't report it, which I absolutely don't understand. The BBC didn't report it because the BBC reports nothing. Again, I've contacted the BBC and I've complained and it makes no difference. But when what's important about Denmark is it's a NATO state. It's not just another EU state. And the if this gets too complicated, Tony, stop me. Okay. In 2016, all 28 data regulators, including our information commissioner in the UK, imposed an unlawful and criminal agreement with the United States called Privacy Shield. That was unlawful, and the European Court of Justice, when it got to it, struck it down. But nobody followed through. I got a petition up in the European Parliament in October, just a couple of months ago, and the petition said the mass surveillance was continuing. And nothing's happened. But the European Commission did say that we could all sue in the courts the data regulators who'd imposed this mass surveillance on us. But the mass surveillance is being done by Microsoft, Google, Apple, Facebook. They are the criminals. And the criminal offence they are committing, the big one, is espionage. And that's why Lars, whatever he's called, is in jail. But the same unlawful activity applies in all 27 EU states.
Well, he's Lars Finsen, L-A-R-S, yeah. F-I-N-D-S-E-N. I'm surprised this is not a bit bigger story, really.
It's, well, here's the, you and I know from the past, the BBC reports nothing. I've made formal complaints and I've got, you know, hogwash back. I've complained to Gordon Correa, the security correspondent. They've reported nothing. None of them have reported the Irish Supreme Court judgment. None of them have reported the consequences of the, what do you call it, the striking down of Privacy Shield and the fact that it entitles all of us, you, me, and every kid in Devon, to go out there and sue the Information Commissioner.
Well, I can remember having a very interesting chat with a guy called Charles Shoebridge, who's a former special branch officer and military officer, who was a spokesperson on RT for a long time, and he's sort of disappeared now. He seems to have been, I don't know, bribed off the airwaves somehow by getting him involved in some private consultancy or something. But he explained that all of the security correspondents in all the national newspapers and the national TV networks are basically press officers for MI5 and MI6, because that's the way they operate. They will. It's only if they do what those security services want that they get any stories at all.
Well, okay, no, this, well, it looks like that. I mean, how do you account for, you're in the media, I'm in the media. The media doesn't formally do conspiracies. You know, it'd be like herding cats. Normally, it shouldn't work. But there's something wrong when the BBC reports nothing and the Guardian reports nothing. Now, remember the other story? Oh, it's great to catch up with you. the story I never thought I'd ever see in my life. And I've seen a lot of stories. The person at the National Security Agency who masterminded the mass surveillance, wait for this, I know him. He was the managing editor, Rupert Murdoch's managing editor at the Sunday Times when I was there. A fellow called James Adams. Adams became an American citizen and then became, and this is inexplicable, he then became a director of the National Security Agency in the United States. And his big project was the mass surveillance. How do I know? Because he said so on his website.
Well, that is, I mean, I would suggest there that what the NSA are looking for is someone with a deep experience at the heart of the London media to make sure that they don't get any negative coverage.
Well, how far into the London media can you get beyond the managing editor of the Sunday Times? That was, it's a story you know, if you're a journalist like you or me, you don't, things don't shock you. You can't use that word. But certainly when I saw his name and saw the claims he was making in his own website, this is unbelievable. But it also explains something else. The database that the National Security Agency have compiled on all of us is a total and complete shambles. 80% of all the data in this huge database is pornography. 80%. And about up to 10% is pedophilia. So the mass surveillance scooped up an enormous amount of pornography. The largest collection of pornography on planet Earth is at Fort Meade in Maryland, at the headquarters of the National Security Agency.
I mean, but surely the actual purpose of the NSA is to build up profiles on everybody. I mean, I don't think it's all porn, surely. I mean, that's actually a really pernicious thing. So the idea is that anybody that the establishment wants to get, basically to character assassinate or whatever, they've got a massive load of stuff to go through and they say, all right, we'll throw this and this at them.
Well, make the connection. I can only go by the statistics I've heard. And the volume or the amount of pornography in the master databases was actually chatted about at the World Cyber Security Congress in 2018. I chaired that, but unfortunately, it was conference chat. You can't make stories out of that, but I've gone back to it now and had another look. And I think it's reasonable to say that at least 70% of all the stuff on the master database that the NSA are holding on everybody is pornography. Fascinating, isn't it? But do you remember long ago, and you would remember, the thing that Rupert Murdoch most cared about in the United Kingdom wasn't the Sunday Times. It was the News of the World. That's where he spent. I mean, I physically saw him at Wapping. And that's where he spent most, when he would come and see Wapping, he'd spend most of his time at the News of the World, not at the Sunday Times.
Well, that's because it was the best-selling paper in the country, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was the most.
Well, why was it then?
It was a. Now, this I'm not quoting a judge, but when I was at the Sunday Times, I developed the view that the News of the World was a criminal organization and its main purpose was blackmail. Murdoch was using the News of the World to blackmail people in politics in the UK.
Did he not use the Sunday Times for that too?
Less directly. I mean, the News of the World was the main instrument of the Whip's offices, MI5 in particular, and the government.
Can you give any evidence for that?
It's funnily enough, it was all in the court cases. There, when Rebecca Brooks was, she was found not guilty, but when she was charged, a lot of that stuff came up. And if you like, I was also a physical observer of what the difference between me and other people down there was. I had a parliamentary pass, but I wasn't part of the lobby. So I could see things happening that others couldn't see because they were in the lobby and part of this cover everything up gang. But how do you account for the fact that the BBC has reported nothing, the Guardian have reported nothing, and, well, the Murdoch newspapers haven't reported that, of course, but that's what you'd expect.
Well, yeah, I think it's mainly because the, I mean, for example, the same reasons they didn't report the march of several thousand NHS workers, part of this campaign called NHS 100K, on Saturday last weekend. There are, it's really has become Orwell's Ministry of Truth, where there are only certain stories that will get reported. I mean, we've had 3 weeks pretty much of Boris has to go stories, even though, of course, Boris doesn't have to go.
Yeah. Well, like you, I find it extremely difficult to believe in a media conspiracy because the media is so hard to pin down. There's always going to be somebody. And funnily enough, the first story about the Danish chap being charged was actually in the Times, which was an example of a story that they wouldn't logically have allowed to appear, but it got through.
Well, no, but hang on. I mean, yes, you're right. There's lots of different outlets, but just think about, say, something like the Jimmy Savile story, which was a story for many years, including when he was actually, you know, there was evidence presented to Keir Starmer as Crown Prosecutor twice by Surrey Police that he was a paedophile and should be prosecuted. But when it came to publishing the big expose with Liz McKean and the rest, and Miles Goslett wrote up, there was nobody, not a single paper in London would take what was, you know, possibly one of the biggest stories of the decade.
Yep. Oh, no, I mean, I don't know. Why am I surprised at what's happening over this story?
Anyway, look, I mentioned Boris, but I'd just love to get your take on what's going on with Ukraine. I mean, I've started to call it Fusspot Story of the Week, and then I just switch off whenever I hear it. The first one is Boris has got to go, and it may be that there is a regime change operation going on in Britain where someone somewhere has decided to press the button and get rid of Boris. But it's, you know, it certainly doesn't seem to be the Conservative Party doing it. But what about the other one is this Ukraine that Putin is about to invade?
I mean, I take Putin. OK, the whole Ukraine thing is much simpler if you are conscious of two things. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, the Russian government, who was it, Yeltsin, was told that NATO would not advance to the Russian border. Of course, that was a lie. NATO is on the Russian borders, and Putin's position is dead simple. He doesn't want NATO on the borders, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to want, not want. And so his position is quite clear. The deception operation is being operated from this side. For some reason, the Americans want NATO up on the Russian border, and they're trying to use this to manipulate a situation and call Putin's bluff. It's dangerous. Putin might feel that the only thing he can do is move into the Donbass. It won't be a full-scale invasion of the Ukraine. It'll be partial, if anything, if it happens. Because there's a very sizable Russian population in the Ukraine. And they would support an invasion and, you know, split whatever is left of Ukraine. So this is a very dangerous game of bluff. But the rationality is on Putin's side, not on the other side. But the thing, when I did that conference in 2018, it was very interesting that the gossip, so I can't make it any better than the gossip, was that the Russians and the Chinese were extremely interested in the American mass surveillance, because the American mass surveillance was criminal and it was undermining the NATO countries. So, of course, the Russians were interested. And that's why we're hearing nothing about the Danes putting the head of their spooks in jail for spying for the Americans.
Well, yeah, the other thing we're not hearing about is the Croatian prime minister saying that, and I was saw this on RT, the Croatian prime minister saying that if there is any kind of conflagration in Ukraine, they will be pulling all of their troops straight out. That actually, although they're part of NATO, they're certainly not going to be there running to the defense of Ukraine right next to the border of Russia or Moscow.
Well, the other thing is the Ukraine is not a NATO state. So it's not entitled. And NATO is not entitled to go to its aid either. Tough on the Ukrainians, but the unmoving position in all this has been Putin's. He said, you made a promise in 1991 that there'd be no marching NATO up to our borders, and you know every bloody border we have.
So why is all this happening? All this, you know, what's the point of it? I still don't really see, if they're repeating the same nonsense again and again, is the idea to create an excuse to move troops into that part of the world more, maybe into places like the Baltic states, into Poland, into Romania, places like that?
Well, Poland is a member of NATO, isn't it? Are you asking if the Russians want to do that? Not particularly. They just
No. Is this just an excuse for NATO to start moving troops in that area? It's interesting, isn't it? Because one of the things just before the Iraq war, Scott Ritter pointed out last week on our show, was that the Americans and the British moved a whole load of troops out of Afghanistan just before. Well, they've moved everything out of Afghanistan now. So it does suggest that they may be redeployed somewhere.
Well, don't think about something else, the mass surveillance. The Americans have put some very interesting weight. They said in May last year, the American Secretary of State, Blinken, and the National Security Advisors flew to Ireland and carpeted the foreign minister at Shannon Airport. The Irish foreign minister was summoned to Shannon Airport by this pair of chaps. And he was told that the Irish Supreme Court judgment saying that the United States had no national security interest in the surveillance had to go. Well, one of the problems is the Republic has a written constitution. And even if the Irish government wanted to disrupt the judgment of the Supreme Court, it can't. The Irish government has no constitutional power to kind of amble around to the Supreme Court in the forecourts and say, hiya chaps, our American friends don't like what you did, so could you please take it off the books? The Irish government has no power to do that. But the American...
But Kevin, is there anything we can actually do about this? I seem to be sort of just sort of watching this happen, because it's a bit like the latest Johnny English film. The tech giants are so powerful, they've got their claws right into actually anyone that might stand against them in government or regulate them.
Well, again, that incident at Shannon Airport wasn't reported. And the follow-up, the incident happened on 23rd of May, and nobody reported it here, and it was a public incident. I mean, they didn't say what they had said. They didn't talk about the blackmail on the Irish government. But when the Irish Supreme Court said, sorry, guys, to the Americans and Facebook, you have no legal basis for what you're doing. It's bunkum. The that was on the 31st of May. On the 10th of October 1919, the Irish Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, saw Boris Johnson on the Wirral, and he spent 3 hours trying to explain to Johnson that the mass surveillance had to stop, that the Supreme Court in Ireland had, you know, heard the American government's case, listened to it, and said, no way, Jose, this is all legal nonsense. And the judgment of the Irish Supreme Court was unanimous. You know, it wasn't, there was, you've got, in Ireland, you've obviously got a lot of friends of the United States. Well, they haven't one friend when it came to the law of the land. The American mass surveillance is criminal in every country.
What about, okay, let's just round up by summing up, because we've heard this week about Julian Assange being, his case going to the Supreme Court too, which seems incredible. But because, you know, he hasn't actually committed any crime in Britain.
Nope.
So what do you make of that? What's the, you know, can you guess what the Supreme Court might have to say?
Yep, I can. I'm surprised. Assange's QC, is it Edward Fitzgerald? I can't remember who it is, has not pointed out to the Supreme Court that the people asking for Assange's extradition are the same people committing crimes in the United Kingdom every day. He hasn't done that, but it needs to be done. But it wouldn't surprise me if the UK Supreme Court is getting nervous. The Supreme Court of the United Kingdom is on a limb. The Irish Supreme Court has said this is all nonsense. The European Court of Justice, even more profoundly, has said this is all nonsense. It's complete bunkum. And one reason both the Irish Supreme Court and the European Court of Justice said this is because both courts are under criminal surveillance by the Americans.
Right. So you seem to be implying that you think the Supreme Court will approve the extradition.
No, not approve it. They'll find a way out of it.
Well, I hope so. Anyway, all right, Kevin, can you just round up? What's the best way people can follow your work these days? Other than buying your books, who owns Britain?
Who owns Ireland?
Who owns the world? You've done so many. There's only one left, and that's who owns the moon. But anyway, so what's the best way for people to follow your journalism these days, Kevin?
Okay. I finally got a blog together. It's called, Kevin, I'll tell you what, I'll send it to you later today. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, are you
it's called Kevin's Chronicles. I'm doing a fair bit of stuff. I'm doing, and it will interest you. Do you know who won World War II?
Well, the Russians.
Yeah. When you actually go through technically, and that's what I've gone back and done, because by accident, when I was in the British forces, I knew a guy, the guy who took the German surrender at Lüneburg, Montgomery. Monty, of course, was Irish and quite proud of it. But then I knew the man who translated the German surrender in Berlin on the 9th of May. It just occurred to me the other day, I knew two people who were right in there. You know, heard what the Germans said, translated it. And it made me go back and say, well, what actually happened? And the answer was, in July 1943, the Russians defeated the Germans and the war was technically over. It just cost 800,000 Russian lives. But, you know, the Hollywood stuff that it was America won the war is just so much.
Okay, Kevin Carhill, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers, Tony.
And I'll send you, see you at Kevin's Chronicles.
I'll send it up to you shortly.